الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. گزشتہ جمعے میں میں نے حضرت مسلم ماؤد
In the last week's Friday sermon, I spoke with reference to the prophecy of Muslim Maud, the promised son. In this respect, I spoke on the aspect of the prophecy of him being filled with secular and religious knowledge. I also mentioned that his knowledge, spiritual insight, and finer perception into the meanings of the Holy Quran affected and impressed even non-Ahmadis, which they openly expressed. These appraisals and Hadhrat Muslim's achievements are so vast that we could relate them for months and even years, but it is evident that this would not be possible. There is, however, something that I desired to say in the last week's sermon. However, due to a shortage of time, I was not able to. Today I will speak on this. And this is something that happened 90 years ago, and which relates to this city of London. Many of you will be aware that in September 1924, a religious conference was held. Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih II participated in this conference in person. Nowadays, we have wide-ranging contacts. Due to the persecution on Ahmadis in various parts of the world, there are numerous human rights groups who take this issue up. Through this, we are known to the members of Parliament and also the educated class of people both here and around the world. However, this was not in any way the case back then. Despite this, Allah the Almighty produced special circumstances and atmosphere. The organizers of the conference, after consultation, invited Hadhrat Muslim Maud to come to London for the conference and to speak on the religion of Islam. So this had a share of Allah the Almighty's special help and succor. Further, when we assess the financial circumstances of the Jamaat at the time, Hadhrat Muslim Maud had a delegation of 11 persons who came with him. This was no ordinary matter in the context. Hadhrat Muslim Maud covered the expenditure of his own travel personally. The others who travelled with him had to take out a loan. So first it was decided to not come to London. Then, after prayers, istikhara and consultation with the members of the Jamaat, the journey to London went forth. We observe the display of Allah the Almighty's special help and succor at every stage of this journey. This was the first journey of a Khalifatul Masih to Europe and included visits to Arab countries such as Syria, Palestine and Egypt and so on. No other Khalifa except for Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih II has toured Arab countries. Because after this the circumstances went from bad to worse and restrictions were enforced. At this time, I will briefly outline the circumstances surrounding the conference. Also, I will present the various impressions of the English people with relation to Hadhrat Muslim Maud. where on the one hand these opinions and comments testify to Hazrat Musleh Maud's scholarly knowledge and having special help of Allah the Almighty, there on the other hand there are some tarbiyati aspects which should be known by our youth. At the time, journeys would be undertaken by ship over the sea and would take several days. One day on this journey, Hadhrat Musleh Maud was leading the congregational prayer with his companions on the deck in between the first and second class cabins. He was seated after having finished the prayer. His companions were also with him. The doctor of the ship was Italian, who happened to be passing by. He saw Hadhrat Musleh Maud seated, and spontaneously the doctor said, "Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples." Dr. Hashmatullah Sahib, who is narrating this account, relates after hearing this spontaneous remark that I was astonished and spellbound that this doctor, who was Italian, and in this sense hailed from the same place of where the Pope resided, what a correct, right, and intelligent comment he made. There were 11 companions who were with Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him. The 12th was Muhammad Sharif Sahib, a lawyer who took part in the journey on his own expense. Now I will present briefly the historical context of this conference known as the Wembley Conference, including its aims and objectives. At the outset of 1924, with relation to the famous Wembley exhibition, the socialist leader, William Loftus Hare, proposed that alongside this international exhibition, a religious conference should also be held. At the time, there were various colonies spread afar in the British Empire. So in this proposal, it was recommended that various religious representatives from the British Empire should be invited, should participate in this conference, and should shed light upon their respective doctrines. The organizers of this conference, who included various Orientalists, supported this opinion. Thus, under the auspices of the London School of Oriental and African Studies, a committee was formed to make vast arrangements and organizations for the conference. The Imperial Institute London was chosen as a venue for the conference and was scheduled to be held from 22nd September 1924 to 3rd October 1924. The speakers for the conference were nominated and were sent invitations to represent Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Jainism, Sikhism, Sufism, Brahmo Samaj, Arya Samaj, Confucianism, and so on. Although Maulvi Abdul Rahim Sahib Nayyar, may Allah be pleased with him, came to London at the start of 1923. However, he was not aware that this conference was due to be held. After the committee had been formed and the speakers had been chosen and all the program had been scheduled and some part of 1924 also had commenced, then, while seated somewhere, someone by chance mentioned in the presence of this Maulvi, Abdul Rahim Sahib Nayyar, about the conference. Upon this, he went to the joint secretary of the committee, M.M. Sharples, who he met. M.M. Sharples heard what Maulvi Sahib had to say, and thereafter, he felt that the Ahmadiyya perspective and point of view regarding Islam must be presented. This was then subsequently mentioned in the committee. The Vice President of the committee, Dr. Sir Thomas W. Arnold, drew attention towards this. that Nayyar Sahib should most certainly be consulted regarding the nomination for which speakers to speak at the conference. This is the extent to which he had been impressed. Sometimes today we lose all hope and say, now it is too late, nothing can be done. Whereas at that time, in spite of everything already having been decided, Nayyar Sahib took the courage and convinced the entire committee and organizers. So then, with Nayyar Sahib, the entire program was revised. The names of the Hindu and Buddhist and also the Sufi representatives were all chosen with the consultation of Nayyar Sahib. Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib's name was written down as the Sufi speaker. However, along with this, he also informed that Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib could not attend unless it was approved by Hazrat Khalifa Jamal Masih II, the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. So as soon as these names were presented in the committee, Dr. Arnold and Professor Margalith and also other members of the committee, with great sincerity and most warmly and affectionately decided that an invitation should be sent for Hazrat Khalifa Masih II to be invited to the conference and to request to bring Sufi Sahib alongside with him. Thus, Hazrat Khalifa Masih II was sent an invitation by the major Orientalists of Britain. In any case, as I have said, with great thought, consideration and consultation, the invitation was accepted. Hazrat Khalifa Masih II started writing the article or address for the conference. Its translation and revision was carried out by Jolly Zafrullah Khan, Maulvi Sher Ali and Mahatma Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib. The article written, however, turned out to be very lengthy. It would have been inappropriate to read out the entire treatise. There would not have been enough time in the conference, nor was it suitable to read out a summary. So thus it was decided to write an altogether new treatise. So a new article was then written. Hazrat Khalifa Masih II wrote the article, which was then translated. So thus, he set out on this journey. As I mentioned, in 1924, this conference began. 23rd September 1924. It was a golden day in the European tour of Hazrat Khalifa Masih II, which was a day in which the treatise of Hazrat Khalifa Masih II was to have his peerless article read out at the conference, which was to splendorously make known Islam and Ahmadiyyat to all. It would bring the true message of Islam to Europe. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had seen a vision or dream about delivering an address in London, which Hadhrat Muslim Maud has mentioned in one of his addresses. This was thus fulfilled in all its splendor and glory. The time for the treatise was assigned for 5 o'clock in the evening, whereas prior to this, people had been continuously listening to various matters relating to Islam and religion for 2.5 hours. As soon as the time came for the address of Hazrat Khalifa Masih II, not only did people remain seated enthusiastically, but rather, these people remained seated whilst others started filing into the hall until it became completely full. No other lecture which was delivered before to this had such high attendance. The president who was presiding over the session was Sir Theodore Mersin. He introduced His Holiness. Then, with sentiments of great respect and reverence, he requested His Holiness to address the audience with His holy words. Upon this, Hazrat Khalifa Masih II, who was seated on the stage along with his companions, he stood up. He delivered a very brief address in English. He said, "Mr. President, dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I express my gratitude to Allah the Almighty that He placed the thought in the hearts of the organizers of the conference that people should reflect and ponder on the subject of religion, and they should listen to speeches from speakers of different religions to determine which religion should be accepted. Then, His Holiness said that now I say to my follower, Jodi Zafrullah Khan Sahib, Barrister of Law, to read out my article. He said that even when delivering an address in my own language, I am not accustomed to a written address, because I always deliver extemporary speeches which last up to 6 hours. He said that the matter of religion is not limited to ending in this world. In fact, it continues in the life after death in the world to come. Eternal happiness of man is linked to faith in religion. Therefore, deliberate, reflect, and ponder upon this, and I hope and expect that you will listen to this carefully. So Jodi Sahib read out this treatise, which took him approximately 1 hour to read out. He delivered it with great splendor, dignity, and glory. Despite the fact that Jodi Sahib had a sore throat, however, Allah the Almighty displayed His special help, and He read out this article in a most brilliant fashion. In one place, Hazrat Khalifa Masih II has said, with regards to Jodi Zafrullah Khan Sahib and his reading out of the article, he said that this was actually my tongue. Although Jodi Sahib was delivering the address, it was not his tongue, but it was my tongue, is what Hazrat Khalifa Masih II said. The audience were all enraptured as a result of the article. It was as if all the audience were Ahmadis. The entire crowd, completely absorbed, remained until the end. Whenever they heard something which was new for them with relation to Islam, then many people would jump from their seats in happiness. The issues of slavery, interest, usury, and also polygamy were explained in a brilliant fashion. This part of the treatise was not only enthusiastically listened to by men, but also women keenly heard this part. After 1 hour, the treatise was read out. The audience gave very warm applause for a long period of time. The president of the session had to wait for many minutes before it ended. This article is included in the 8th volume of Invadul Ulum. In summary, in this treatise, Hazrat Musleh Maud Khalifa Masih II first mentioned the foundation and establishment of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, which was laid in 1889. He then said that the promised Messiah had claimed to be a Mahdi. This had been prophesied by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, he claimed to be the Messiah, which had been prophesied in the Gospels and Islamic literature. As a result of this claim, the promised Messiah alayhi salam had to face fierce opposition from all sides. Even the Muslim scholars vehemently opposed him. Despite all of this, people were attracted to him and gathered around him. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, a community was thus formed, and gradually this community grew to various parts of the world. This summary of Hazrat Musleh Maud's address cannot in fact even be called a summary. I am merely relating some of the points of the address. The brief treatise that was written by Hazrat Khalifa Masih II, as I mentioned, took 1 hour to read out, and the original treatise that was written, Ahmadiyyat the True Islam, forms quite a long book. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud said that after the promised Messiah's demise, the institution of Khilafat commenced. Under the system of Khilafat, these missions around the world operated, and in dozens of countries of the world, the community was established. People from every religion began to enter into the Jamaat. He then said that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had said clearly that the Messiah and Mahdi would be needed at this very time in accordance to the prophecies. The dire circumstances of this era required that some reformer or Messiah should come, the signs of which had been prophesied. Hazrat Musleh Maud further explained that the promised Messiah on whom be peace had also said, God Almighty speaks to His righteous persons and accepts their prayers. God Almighty is gracious, merciful, and compassionate. He sent His Messiah and Mahdi in this era and provided the means for the reformation of mankind. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, developed belief in the being of God, established his tawheed, oneness of Allah, and inculcated people to establish a connection with him. Thus, he provided proof of God still being alive today. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further clearly said that if any religion cannot clearly identify the being of God, it is not worthy of being deemed a religion. Hazrat Muslim then spoke about the importance of the religions of each person establishing a relationship with God so that spiritual enhancement can be realized. Hazrat Muslim also said that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, with great wisdom and farsightedness, has expressed the matter that although the Holy Quran is the final and law-bearing book, it does not mean that human intellect and rationality has reached its pinnacle. In fact, the beauty and excellence of the Holy Quran being the final and law-bearing book is that there is a hidden treasure of knowledge entailed that is acquired by he who searches and looks for it with seriousness. When this is searched for in seriousness, then where spiritual enhancement is realized, there other hidden worldly and intellectual knowledge are received from the Holy Quran, in accordance with each person's interests and desires. Then Hazrat Muslih Maud also said that the Holy Quran rebuts the allegation leveled to the Muslims that Islam was spread by the sword. Evidence given by him was the verse of the Holy Quran that there is no compulsion in religion. War or fighting back is only then permitted when someone is trying to annihilate or harm Islam. There were other subjects that Hazrat Muslim Maud expounded in this speech. For example, as I have said, slavery, there is usury, interest, polygamy, divorce, moral teachings, life after death, and so on. The Islamic perspective on all these topics were expounded. Then proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was provided. The divine signs of succor in support of the promised Messiah alayhi salam were also elucidated. In this address, Hazrat Muslim Maud also mentioned a dream or vision of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. As has been mentioned previously, in the dream or vision, the promised Messiah is standing on a stage or at a pulpit in London. There he is delivering an address regarding Islam. After a short while, he held on to some birds. He interpreted this to mean that in London his teachings would be promulgated, and people would enter Islam by virtue of him. The first interpretation of this dream was fulfilled through this address of Hazrat Muslim Maud at the conference. Then Hazrat Muslim Maud, with reference to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, said that if someone devoid of prejudice prays 40 days continuously to be given the truth, then the truth will become manifest to him. He read out this extract of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Finally, Hazrat Muslim Maud concluded this subject by saying, "Brothers and sisters, the light of God the Almighty has been lit for you. Those who considered this, due to the passage of time, as a strange and fanciful tale and story, has been manifested right before your eyes. The glory of God the Almighty has become manifest to you through a prophet. Indeed, such a prophet whose advent had been prophesied by all the prophets since the time of Noah, peace be upon him, to the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God the Almighty today once again has proven the fact that he is not only the God of those who died, in fact he is also the God of those who are alive. He is not only the God of those who came in the past, rather he is also the God who are yet to come. Therefore, accept and absorb this light and illuminate your hearts with it. Brothers and sisters, this life is only temporary. Yet it is erroneous to think that after this is only annihilation. The spirit or soul has not been created for annihilation, but rather for an eternal life. From the time of his birth, a person starts treading upon a never-ending path. And death is nothing else except that it speeds up this pace. What is it that these small and trivial attempts that you do to outstrip and outmaneuver each other, yet you ignore this major objective, which all generations in the past, in the present, and in the future have to go through or have gone through? Are you not aware that a chosen one of God was sent in the East, and God the Almighty, by virtue of him, has brought the truth to your doorsteps? With sincerity of heart, be truly grateful to God Almighty for these blessings, so that further blessings can be bestowed upon you. Rush forward to accept this blessing, so that love for him can set alight to be passionate. What is the reason that all these intoxicant things which bring about slackness in the mind are contemptibly looked at you, with teachings that profit not, and merely still the yearnings of the soul? You do not bow before the idols. Then how can you bow before such idols which have no signs of life? Come and drink from this divine nectar of life that God the Almighty has provided for you. This is a nectar which does not eliminate your mind or reason, but rather strengthens it. This is with reference to the Bible that Hadhrat Musleh Maud now says, that rejoice ye bridesmaids and sing joyful hymns, for the bridegroom has arrived. He who has been sought after has now been found. He who was being waited for until the eyes of those who were waiting had become dim now illuminates your eyes. Blessed is he who came in the name of God Almighty. Blessed is he who came in the name of God Almighty. Those who find him receive everything. Those who cannot see him do not see anything. And at the end, we praise Allah, the Lord of the universe. So does Hadhrat Musleh Maud, with great wisdom and huge courage, explain the excellences and beauties of Islam and also invited people towards Islam. As I mentioned, this was a speech which lasted for over an hour. An extremely brief summary I have presented with reference to various points. Nonetheless, I will now outline the impact and effect that this speech had on the audience. It was included in the Al-Fazl report that with relation with reading out of the treatise of the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, Sir Tudor Morrison, in his presidential remarks said the following. The Ahmadiyya movement and other such movements that have been produced prove that Islam is a living religion. The Muslims who are involved in the revival of Islam hold extremely high scholarly knowledge. Mirza Bashiruddin, who was accompanied by many green turban followers, said, that just like the dispensation of Jesus was necessary and natural in the dispensation of Moses, the Ahmadiyya movement is natural and necessary revival in the Islamic dispensation. Its objective is not to introduce any new religious law, but rather to disseminate the true message of Islam. The president then said, I do not need to say much. The excellence and exquisiteness of the lecture can be determined from the lecture itself. On behalf of me and on the audience, I thank the Imam of the community for the excellence of argumentation and reasoning presented in the lecture of Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih. From the face and the countenances of the audience, it is clear that they agree with what I am saying. I am certain that they acknowledge that I am right in expressing thanks on their behalf, and I am fulfilling the right of representing them. Then addressing His Holiness, he said that I congratulate you upon the success of your lecture. Your treatise was the best article amongst all that were presented today. After this, Mr. Morrison remained up on the stage standing for quite some time, and he would repeatedly praise this lecture. I am relating these points because in this lecture, Islam was preached, and in the final paragraph, it was said that the Messiah who was destined to come did come. Then the head of the Free Church, Dr. Walter Walsh, who himself was an eloquent orator, expressing his comments and viewpoints, said that, "I am most fortunate that I have had the opportunity to listen to this lecture." A professor of law said that when I was listening to this lecture, I felt as if this day is commencing a new era. Even if you had spent thousands upon thousands of money in some other way, you would still not have been able to obtain such immense success. Then a priest, Manesh, said that 3 years ago I saw in a dream that Jesus, peace be upon him, comes here with 13 disciples. Now I see that his dream has been fulfilled. I previously mentioned 12 disciples. However, the 13th was present at the function was Hazrat Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib, and in this way 13 was fulfilled. Ms. Sharples, who was the conference secretary, said that people were immensely praising this treatise. She said herself that one person said regarding His Holiness that he is the Luther of this age. Some said that there is a fire in his heart, whilst others said that this treatise was better than all others. After the conference, a German professor rushed forth and came to Hazrat Musleh Maud on the road. He congratulated him and said very important and senior Englishmen said that these are very rare and extraordinary things which you have said, which we do not hear every day. Mr. Lane, who was a senior and high-ranking officer in the India office, acknowledged that His Holiness's treaty was excellent and the best amongst all lectures. Bhai Abdurrahman Sahib Qadiani related that a person came before Hazrat Musleh Maud and said that I've worked for 30 years in India. I have studied the circumstances of the Muslims and their reasons and argumentation. I have remained in India as a missionary. However, the excellent exquisiteness and clarity with which you have presented today's subject matter, I have never heard anything equal to it before today. After listening to this lecture, I was greatly impressed and affected regarding your thoughts, the structure, reasoning and argumentation, which left a deep impact upon me. Another gentleman who had come from France to listen to the lecture said that I previously would give preference to Islam over Christianity. However, I would give preference and superiority to Buddhism over Islam. However, after now listening to your lecture and also listening to the lecture on Buddhism, I admit that in truth, Islam is the greatest religion of all. The brilliant and excellent manner in which you presented Islam cannot be competed by any other religion. This has now left a deep impression on my heart. There were many women who also attended the conference. They greatly praised this treatise. One woman said that many said to me that there is a fire in Hazrat Musleh Maud. Mrs. Sharples said that an English person came to me and said, she was also the wife of the secretary and was also involved in the organization. She said that this English person said that he had not been invited for tea because there were arrangements for tea there, but permit me to enter. Because my objective is to meet that person who has come from India to present Islam and is the leader of Ahmadis. So that person met His Holiness, spoke to him, and then spoke to Maulvi Mubarak Ali and said that I heard the treatise on Buddhism and the articles on the other religions. However, this one was better than all of them. A German person who was a professor at the time On returning from the conference, walking on the road, this is perhaps the same person who I mentioned earlier on. Here, further details have been mentioned. So he congratulated Hazrat Musleh Maud and said they were very senior English people sitting with me. I saw that some were putting their hands over their eyes and said, rare ideas. One cannot hear such rare ideas every day. That same German professor relates that others would say spontaneously, what a beautiful and true principle. He expressed his own opinion and viewpoints in the following words, that this opportunity is a turning point for Ahmadis. This is such an immense success that even if you had spent thousands of pounds, you would not have obtained such success and acclaim. Mr. Lane was previously mentioned, who was a high-ranking officer of the India office. He was listening to the lecture. His wife did not come on that day. When he returned home, he related everything to his wife. The next day, she came, and she met the people of the delegation, and said, I was unable to attend yesterday. My husband, when returning home, told me how successful, popular, and worthy the lecture was. Miss Corner is an atheist who denies the existence of God. She said that the treatise was charming, interesting, and entailed extremely high ideals. Many people used the words a new truth, etc. A woman from the Baha'i faith listened to the lecture. She walked with us near to the house. She said, I previously held Baha'i beliefs, but after listening to today's lecture, my thoughts have changed. I desire to hear more of your lectures. If you can be so kind and inform me where further lectures of this type will be given, and I will most certainly attend. A Christian woman who attended the conference with her daughter with great sincerity followed behind Hazrat Musleh Maud and requested His Holiness to come to her house for tea on Thursday. His Holiness declined due to heavy engagements. However, she continuously persisted with great affection, upon which His Holiness agreed, and she said that whatever time you can come, just please come. Another person said it was such a beautiful and loving lecture that it is even more beautiful than sentiments of patriotism. This was also mentioned in various newspapers, and I will mention one newspaper, the Manchester Guardian. It reported on the 24th September 1924, there was an incident that caused great excitement in the conference that took place when a new sect of Islam was mentioned. The word new sect we have used for the ease of understanding, however, these people do not believe it to be true. He even gave this explanation. According to the people of this sect, they were established 34 years ago by the Messiah, who is prophesied in the Bible and other books. The claim of this movement is that God laid the foundation of this movement in accordance with His clear revelations, for the purpose that mankind may reach God the Almighty through Islam. A person from India, who was wearing a white turban, whose face was brilliant and radiant, who has a pleasant face and had a black beard, and whose title is His Holiness Khalifatul Masih Al-Hajj Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed, or abbreviated as Khalifatul Masih, presented the aforementioned emphatic statement, which is entitled Ahmadiyyat, the Movement in Islam. One of his followers, who is wearing a red Turkish cap, read his treatise in a brilliant manner. He concluded his treatise, which was mostly in support and promoting Islam, with a passionate and zealous appeal. In it, he invited the audience to accept this new Messiah and this new teaching. It is also important to mention that after the reading out of this treatise, the great amount of cheers and commendations that were received were not afforded to any other paper before it. By Abdurrahman Sahab Qadiani says that a unanimous resolution was passed after the conclusion of this lecture for such beneficial knowledge, scholarly ideologies, and great counsel and advice, we should thank His Holiness. A professor and priest who learnt about this lecture first came to the house and then came to the location and venue of the lecture, was greatly impressed. He also purchased some books of the movement. He was so affected by the lecture that he was seen constantly bouncing from his seat. He listened a lot and said that he would return, and he pledged that he would preach these ideals of Islam. He said the teachings of Islam that had been expounded, he would preach them. So thus this treatise that was read out, and the one that was previously prepared that I have mentioned, which due to it being lengthy could not be read out, both have been translated into English. Although some of the details and facts and figures relating to mission houses and other details of the Jamaat relate to that period of time. Now the Jamaat has progressed far ahead since that time. However, the brilliance and beauty and knowledge and scholarly quality of that paper remains today. So therefore, the English-speaking people, including the youth, should most certainly read these. May Allah the Almighty bestow great mercy and blessings upon Hadhrat Muslim Maud, who in nearly every subject has left a huge and vast treasure, which I have explained. He has touched on almost every topic. The Fazl-e-Ummah Foundation should try to speed up the process of translating this work into different languages. They are already carrying out this work, but they need to speed up its pace. Today, after the Friday prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia. This is of Mr. Respected Kamal Ahmed Kroh Sahib, who lived in Denmark. He was born in 1942 in a city in Denmark. After his elementary education and graduating from Diderot University, until 2013, he taught the subjects of history, geography, religion, and the Danish language. He was at university when he was blessed with the fortune of being able to accept Islam. He was amongst the students of Abdus Salam Medzin Sahib. The message of Ahmadiyyat spread through him. At the outset of 1960s, when Mir Maqsood Ahmed Sahib, who was a missionary, at the time he was unable to accept Ahmadiyyat. Until his death, he was a most loyal, sincere and loving Ahmadi, and he kept his connection with the Jamaat. He had the greatest amount of respect, love and affection and devotion with Khilafat. When he met me, I saw great loyalty and devotion in him when I went to Denmark. Although he was ill, he would regularly come there. He also worked in different capacities and offices in the Jamaat. He was National Guide, Majlis Qudama Ahmadiyya, and National Secretary Tabligh for years upon years with great sincerity, effort, endeavor. He had a zealous enthusiasm for preaching. On every opportunity, he did not leave any stone unturned to convey the message of Islam to the people of Denmark. His wife said that after being alleviated from Jamaat work, he would come late at home at night, he would work for the half the night and present a report to the Amir, and then he would sleep. His circle of contacts was very wide-ranging, including with various Danish leaders who he had good contacts with. Amir Sahib Denmark writes that in 1988-1989, when he was missionary in charge, then with great obedience and compliance, in particular in Jamaat works and in the preaching of preaching, he would assist and help me. At the time when the Danish Prime Minister was given a gift of the Holy Quran in a meeting, then Kamal Kroh Sahib was also present. In fact, Kamal Kroh Sahib is the one who arranged for this meeting. Also, for the educational well-being and moral training of the youth and children in Masjid Nusrat, every Friday he would hold a program in the evenings. In this, he would answer the questions of the children, and he would also speak about the various problems and try to resolve them. He wrote several books, and he had also translated many Jamaat books. He carried out the work of revising the Danish translation of the philosophy of the teachings of Islam. He was also the editor of the quarterly magazine of Danish Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and he took this responsibility for several years with excellence. Similarly, in the 70s and 80s, When the refugees from Muslim countries, he would present to them the message of Islam. In 2004, he suffered a stroke. As a result of this, he spent a life in a disability. Despite his illness and disability, he would travel afar to attend the Friday prayer and also Jamaat programs. In addition to this, whenever he would go to meet Amir Sahib, in every meeting he would ask about the progress of the community. Nowadays, a new mission house is due to be constructed, which he would particularly ask about. He would constantly, in every meeting, ask Amir Sahib about me, that how is the Khalifa of the time? He would become extremely emotional upon asking this. On 18th February 2004, he felt ill, and he was admitted to hospital. In the morning of 19th February, at 5:30, at the age of 73, he passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He leaves behind a widow, a son and a daughter, and five grandchildren. His widow partakes in the Jamaat programs with great sincerity and is also carrying out translation work and is extremely assisting in this matter. He was also very well known amongst people outside the community. In the Danish electronic media, there are many opinions and comments regarding him. One person said that Gurukh Sahib was an extremely great man who is no longer with us. We always looked at Kamal Sahib with great respect. In many students like me, he holds great respect for us. He is an extremely esteemed and respectable person. He was loved by all in the class. Like Kamal Sahib, today I am also associated to the education and academic establishment. Kamal was a role model for me, and intellectually and academically he was very well versed in his subject. He has put many of us on the correct path of life. Then he says that all people lead their lives, and some people have acquired the knowledge that is required, whereas there are very few people who have understood this point, the secret or formula of remaining alive. A woman says that Kamal Gurul was such a teacher who a person can never forget. Mr. Kenneth says the following. He was a teacher who was greatly impressed by. He was a good and righteous person. Another woman, Ingrid, said that in college, I had many students who in their time at school had been Kamal Gurukh students. They always remembered Kamal Gurukh with great reverence. Those who had been his students were head and shoulders ahead of others in religious studies. There are similarly many other comments and views about Kamal Gurukh. There is a Mr. Michael who says the following. I hope that there will be another person in Denmark who will continue his works, that he had initiated to build bridges between the Danes and the Muslims who had come from abroad, and to create an atmosphere of dialogue which he initiated. I have to say with regret that now in our society, there are people who, instead of promoting mutual relationships, try to instill fire between people. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. May Allah the Almighty also grant patience, solace, and resolve to his family, wife and kids, and enable them to always remain firmly attached to the Jamaat. As I said, after the Friday prayer, his funeral prayer in absentia will, inshallah, God willing, be offered.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.